right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm ready to go. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase joining you, as always, in studio. Happy Monday for most of you listening. I'm here in studio recording on a Sunday night, but by the time you're listening, you're probably on your commute to work. Maybe you are at your desk listening with LockedOnEagles.com. Maybe you're driving home from work. Maybe you're picking up the kids. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are listening, of course, we always appreciate you listening. But make sure you're subscribed to the show so you can get this 4 to 5 days a week, ladies and gentlemen. We are your only daily source of the Philadelphia Eagles throughout the week when it comes to podcasts. So make sure you subscribe to the show on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team. Every day you can find us on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Himalaya, wherever and whenever we are up and available, as well as LockedOnEagles.com and on Twitter at LockedOnBirds and at DiBiase, L-O-E. Okay, there are all my shameless plugs for the day. So on today's edition of the show, you've seen this with most beat writers at this time of year now that minicamp is over. We are a couple weeks away. You know, training camp gets going in July. The players right now get to take a rest, spend some more time with their families here. Maybe they're still working out. Some guys stay in Philadelphia. Some go back to where they're from around the country. And so it's kind of everyone's taking a big deep breath. You are trying to digest what we saw with minicamp, who shined, you know, who struggled, or really, I don't know, it's kind of hard to struggle in minicamp, but who failed to really stick out, I think is the good way to say it. I mean, you can look at the cornerbacks, right? Doug Peterson specifically mentioning Avante Maddox, Rasul Douglas, and Sidney Jones on the offensive side of the ball, you know, really talking about how well Dallas Goedert has come along and how Halepuʻi Vaivai-Tai is adjusting really well from his switch to, you know, swing tackle, left and right tackle, now to right guard, where he's probably going to start the season, considering Brandon Brooks right now is still recovering from that torn Achilles. And, I mean, we all know Achilles injuries is really the one that takes the longest of those leg injuries. So, you know, no one really struggled, but those guys definitely popped, and it's changing up people's 53-man roster predictions. You've seen the articles across the internet on Eagles Twitter and throughout Eagles media, but here is your podcast version of it. As a beat reporter for the Eagles myself, I got to give my 53 cents, if you will, on this roster, and I'm going to predict it. So when I list this, by the way, here's how it's going to work. For this segment coming up, we're going to get into the offensive side of the ball. I did get to 53. I made sure I didn't get the math wrong and had a 54th extra player or one less at 52. We're going to go offense and defense. Offense, the second segment. Defense, the third. But when I say a player first, this is also based on what I expect the depth chart to line up, at least right now at 9:57 at night at 6:16 or on June 16th, 2019. So that it's what I think right now this depth chart will also be. So when I say Carson Wentz first, that means obviously that I think Carson Wentz is going to be the starting quarterback. As much as I like Nate Studfeld, a.k.a., well, yeah, no. I like the way I said that. Nate Studfeld, a.k.a. Nate Sudfeld. We'll work with that. As much as I like him as a potential, you know, budding star as a backup, if you will, one of the up-and-coming top backups in the league, of course, Mr. $107 million man, Carson Wentz is going to be the starter. So when I do say players in order, it is, in fact, what I think the depth chart is going to line up to be in September. Of course, this is going to change throughout the months. We're going to see if Jalen Mills gets healthy, how that cornerback battle shapes up. You know, training camp is really where the competition gets going. Running back two, when Miles Sanders comes back, RB4, you know, who's going to win that battle between Josh Adams, Wendell Smallwood, and Boston Scott? Wide receiver, are they going to keep six? You know, they got Marky Michelle, they got Matt Collins, if he's still alive, they got Shelton Gibson still. So there are some interesting roster battles here. I did my best here to try to shape up the 53-man roster in a way too early 53-man roster prediction edition of the show. So that's coming up right here on Locked On Eagles. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with the offensive side of the ball. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Louis DiBiase. Make sure, again, you're subscribed to the podcast, because we're going 4 to 5 different days a week, different shows, different topics, really diving into a focus each day. And you got to make sure you're subscribed so it'll get into your phone. So when you wake up in the morning, you've got the next edition of Locked On Eagles to play in your phone. But once again, if you listen on your desktop at work, We post every single show as well as written content on LockedOnEagles.com. Later on this week, I'll post a written version of this 53-man roster prediction. So you can kind of, once you listen to it, maybe you want to go back and digest a little bit more. We'll post that on the .com for you. But we're going to get into the offensive side of the football right here in our 53-man roster prediction on Lockdown Eagles. And starting with quarterback, some people I've seen have them keeping three quarterbacks. They've done it for the past couple of years, of course, with Wentz and Nick Foles, and then they have had Nate Sudfeld as well. And Sudfeld has seen the field last year. Remember when Nick Foles took that huge hit by Jadeveon Clowney in the drive to save the season? Sudfeld had to come out there for a play when Carson Wentz was already injured, and then Nick Foles gets hurt. And then in that Washington game, Sudfeld saw some time. His first completion was a touchdown to Nelson Aguilar in that Week 17 game in Washington that pushed the Eagles into the playoffs. But I feel like this year, now that Nick Foles is not there, there's a difference between, okay, of course, Carson Wentz needs Nick Foles as that backup there that has already won a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. But at the same time, hey, we have this young quarterback in Nate Sudfeld who we really like. We pretty much robbed Washington picking this guy off waivers. He has developed excellently behind Wentz and Foles in this great QB room. I mean, Sudfeld has had so many tools to develop into at least a formidable backup. When you have a former MVP lead candidate in Carson Wentz, right? Nick Foles, a Super Bowl MVP that a year later won a playoff game and brought the Eagles back on another magical run. You have Doug Peterson in your arsenal. The year before, you had John DeFilippo and Frank Reich. Nate Sudfeld has had every single asset, every tool in the toolbox in Philadelphia to become this new, really good backup for the Philadelphia Eagles. And while Cody Kessler is in town as that veteran to compete with Sudfeld, we all did expect that they would bring somebody in. I do think Sudfeld is the guy that eventually wins this job, and I don't think they're going to keep anybody else. For me, Kessler has done some good things in Cleveland and in Jacksonville, but I think if you gave Sudfeld the amount of playing time that those teams gave Kessler, I think Sudfeld could do equally as productive what Kessler did, but at the same time, I think Sudfeld could exceed Kessler's performances. Kessler has made some good plays throughout his career, but I think Sudfeld is the guy they want to win this job. I think so far they're encouraged that he will. It sounds like he's in the lead currently. I think he'll take that next step, and I just think it's really a matter of, yeah, if he was playing for the 0-16 Cleveland Browns too, I think he would have been able to show some of the stuff that Kessler did. Sudfeld has already popped on the screen a few times. I mean, I was at the Pittsburgh game in the preseason last year, and some of the throws on the run he was making, that deep ball down the field to Shelton Gibbs, and I think the Eagles got something with Nate Sudfeld, and I don't think they're going to keep three quarterbacks this year. Because do you want to keep Clayton Thorson? I mean, I guess it really depends on his development in the summer. Do you want to keep a Cody Kessler or a Clayton Thorson? I think it would be Thorson between him and Kessler if you were going to keep one of those guys as that third guy, because I think that third quarterback you're going to want to be a developmental prospect. Do you want to keep that roster spot for that kind of player who might never see the field if everything goes right throughout the season, unless there's a disaster that ensues? Or do you want to keep that spot for maybe a fifth safety or a sixth cornerback, or, you know, you want to keep a sixth wide receiver, or a 10th offensive lineman, or whatever, a fifth defensive tackle? That's the decision the Eagles got away here going back and forth. For me, I think that they have a good chance of just stashing Clayton Thorson on the practice squad. Although, you know, if that injury didn't happen to him at Northwestern, he probably would have been at least a third-round pick. I think Thorson will be someone really interesting to watch. He's got a lot of good, pure arm talent. He'll be fun to watch in the preseason, but neither him or Kessler, for me, is worth grabbing a roster spot over a different position where they can help out on special teams or they could play as part of a rotation. So I have Wentz and Sudfeld here as my two quarterbacks on offense. We move over to the running back position. I have them keeping four here: Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, Corey Clement, and the cockroach himself, Mr. Wendell Smallwood. I think Howie Roseman really likes Boston Scott. I do. Doug Peterson compared him to Darren Sproles the other week. He is fast. He has that niche role where he can be not only a punt returner for you, but a kick returner. And I think that's big. I think Scott could make it if I talked about on the podcast a couple weeks ago, DeSean Jackson becoming a punt returner. I was more gearing towards him becoming a full-time punt returner. They asked Doug Peterson about it the other day. He said, yeah, they definitely could pick their spots with DeSean. That for me sounds like they definitely, if they need a big play, would throw Jackson back there. Especially now that he's not wide receiver one anymore, you still need Jackson, but if he gets injured, it's not the end of the world like it could have been, you know, the first stint with Philadelphia. But if, let's say, they only want to use him in a limited role there, they don't want to use Corey Clement or Shelton Gibson, maybe even Nelson Agholor. I like the idea of Agholor returning. I think when he gets downhill and starts picking up speed, Agholor is dangerous. I think that's an option not a lot of people have talked about. Or if they don't want to use Wendell Smallwood, who has more been a kick returner than a punt returner throughout his career, then there's Boston Scott's niche right there to make this roster. But for me, with all those other options, including DeSean Jackson, and the way Wendell Smallwood has found a way to stick on this roster for, this will be the fourth season now, I'll believe it when I see it, basically, when Wendell Smallwood does not make the roster. He is someone that he's never going to give you more than you expect, but he'll give you probably exactly what you expect, right? You guys hear me describe it all the time. I think Smallwood's someone that, you know, with a great offensive line like the Eagles, he can produce for you. He can churn out some, you know, productive, solid runs. If the hole is open, I think he can get through it. And he showed last year that he can be formidable in the run game and in the pass game when you're in a situation like the Eagles were, where they're going into the season with Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement, and Darren Sproles as their top three in the depth chart, and all three of them get hurt. So here you are with Wendell Smallwood and Josh Adams, right? I think they were kind of left with no choice, and I think Smallwood was fine. He was pretty good. So I think that they're comfortable with him. I think Deuce Staley is comfortable with him. He does have kick return experience. He put one to the house in 2016 against Washington. I think Boston Scott could eventually, if he starts popping in the return game and starts showing some flashes of speed and athleticism on offense, I think Boston Scott's a guy they are high on, but and definitely has that niche role. But I think that, you know, Corey Clement, they might want to use him as a returner. He ran the same 40 time as Kenyon Barner heading into the league. So, you know, he's got the speed that I think they would want for the position. So there is some other options here. But it really is interesting. Moving on to receiver two, with this six wide receiver spot or running back four, being a really good returner could really get you a lock with one of these roster spots here. But I think Wendell Smallwood has shown enough on the offensive side as well that if injuries happen, he is the guy. I think that's where Josh Adams is going to kind of struggle here, is because Scott and Smallwood both, you know, Smallwood has shown that he can be productive on offense now for 3 years. You know, he's not going to be world beating, but at the same time, he's shown he can be formidable. And whereas Boston Scott here has this role of, hey, I can be that new Kenyon Barner, I can be that new Darren Sproles for you. So they both kind of have a carved out role that the Eagles could imagine. Whereas Josh Adams, yeah, he led the team in rushing last year, showed a lot of flashes. Are you keeping an RB4 based on potential, especially with the injuries he's had already? I'm not so sure. I like Adams. I really do. I thought, you know, he looked really good against Jacksonville last year, against the Colts in limited snaps, against the Cowboys. Dallas did not want them to keep handing the ball off to Adams, and they eventually did stop. So I think Adams is right now the odd man out. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Adams either, considering the flashes he's shown. But I think because Smallwood and Scott both have return experience as well, and Smallwood has on-the-field production on the offensive side, Adams right now is probably last when it comes to odds of becoming that RB4. So I think right now it'd be Smallwood, and I think part of that is going to be because, moving on to receiver, the Eagles do keep a sixth wide receiver, and it's Shelton Gibson. Gibson has been a kick returner before for Philadelphia. He's got some really good breakaway speed. It's why they drafted him a couple years ago out of West Virginia. I went with Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, Nelson Agholor, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I don't know if you guys noticed, but we're switching it up. Apparently it's J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, not J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Matt Collins at wide receiver 5, and then I have Shelton Gibson at 6. So Sony Michel's brother, Marco Michel, is someone that's interesting. He has had a really good mini camp. I'll be fascinated to see if, you know, that gains any traction in training camp, or if he's just another Paul Turner. What's the other guy? I'm forgetting. Rashard Bailey, right? Who's some other, you know, preseason heroes? A Chad Hall. I'm really going back there, like 2010 for Chad Hall. he could make the roster, but I feel like with Shelton Gibson, they invested a draft pick in him. This might be the last do or die for Gibson. And I'm kind of surprised with how Gibson fell off the face of the earth last year. I thought in the summer he was really strong in the preseason. The first two games against the Steelers and against New England, you know, he was getting in the end zone. He was making deep plays down the field with Nate Sudfeld. He was really clicking with Sudfeld. I think that might pick up again in the summer, and I think that'll be enough with his return ability, especially if they're going to keep Smallwood here, that Gibson is the guy that they'll keep at wide receiver six. At tight end, I think it's pretty easy here. Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, Richard Rodgers. No more Josh Perkins. I think it's time for Richard Rodgers to be that tight end three. But for the most part, nothing really overly controversial so far. By the way, going back to running back, I mentioned Jordan Howard first. I give it maybe 6-7 weeks. At least by the second half of the season, I think Miles Sanders is going to take over as the lead running back. That's just my two cents. And then on the offensive line, as we wrap up here, the second segment of the show, I kept 10 offensive linemen. Starting lineup, Jason Peters at left tackle, Isaac Seumalo at left guard, Jason Kelce is my center, Brandon Brooks at right guard when he's healthy, and Lane Johnson. Then, man, I mean, me and Gino talked about it on the show. Their offensive line, their second team, looks almost like it could start eventually. Andre Dillard is your first-round pick that's going to eventually take over for Jason Peters if Peters gets injured this year. I think with Vitae now kind of moving over to guard, Mailata's shown a lot of good stuff so far in a developmental way. But I think Dillard is clearly the guy, the next man up at left tackle if there is an injury. So Andre Dillard's your backup left tackle. You got Wiz back, Stephen Wisniewski, could play left guard as he did in your Super Bowl season and last year. He can play center if Jason Kelce were to go down, so you don't have to shuffle everybody around. Because Seumalo played center at Oregon State, but you know they don't like to change up multiple spots. So I feel like Wiz could be that center as well. Matt Pryor we keep as well. He has played all over the line. They really like what they have out of Pryor coming out of TCU last year. He is another swing offensive lineman, much like Big V, who, once again, I think is going to start at right guard when the season starts for the first couple weeks, maybe the first month of the season until Brandon Brooks comes back. And then the 10th offensive lineman here is Jordan Mailata. Just to continue to develop this guy, he's still the length, the athleticism for this mammoth of a prospect. He, again, I love you calling him just that blank canvas that Jeff Stoutland can form into whatever they want. And while Dillard now is going to take over as that, you know, top backup at left tackle, Mailata's been playing a lot of right tackle. I think if there were multiple injuries at the guard position, like let's say Kelce, you know, knock on wood that this doesn't happen, but let's say while Big V's in at right guard, maybe say Seumalo gets hurt, and I mean if it happened where Kelce and say Seumalo get hurt, maybe Wiz is the guy that plays center and you move Jordan Mailata to left guard. I think he has the athleticism for that. I mean, you want to pull him. I think there's a lot of ways you can use Mailata. And Peterson even said they begin to cross-train not only Big V during mini camp, but they also began to cross-train Jordan Mailata. So just getting him as much experience across the offensive line as possible with Matt Pryor as well. They have a very versatile offensive line. I mean, just look at it. I mean, starting-wise, Seumalo has played guard, he's played tackle, and he's played center so far. Then you go to the backups. Wisniewski has played center and guard. Matt Pryor is playing all three positions. Jordan Mailata and Big V are getting cross-trained. I haven't been this excited about the Eagles' offensive line depth in a long time. Their starters have been really good now for, like, you know, going on 6-7 seasons, really. But the depth now is better than I've seen in a long time. And the good thing is it's all young talent. I mean, Wiz is the oldest backup. Dillard's going to be a rookie. Matt Pryor, year two. Jordan Mailata, year two. But last year was basically a redshirt season. And then Big V in year four started for the Super Bowl team in the playoff run. Man, this offensive line, very, very exciting. They keep 10, so that's 26 players on the offensive side of the ball the Eagles keep. Coming up next on the Locked On Eagles podcast on defense, we're going to go through the depth chart here and get to 53. Don't go anywhere. This is Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We're wrapping up our 53-man roster predictions with the defensive side of the ball. Once again, this is something that I'm going to put in writing form as well on LockedOnEagles.com, just so after you listen to the show, if you want to go back and kind of see where I think this roster is going to shape up as of June 16th. Once again, this is going to change up, and we'll have multiple articles on this front coming up throughout the summer, because when training camp gets going, that's where things really, really kick off. Boston Scott could severely outplay Wendell Smallwood, or Josh Adams, you know, in the preseason again, could start looking like he did at the start of the second half of the season last year, and then it's a totally different ballgame. Let's go to defense now here. Defensive line, we'll start with the defensive ends. They kept five, according to me. Brandon Graham, Derek Barnett, Vinny Curry, that's your top three. I think Josh Sweat is going to take over as that fourth defensive end for Chris Long. Him and Sharif Miller, I thought it was going to be closer than I think now it's starting to shape up. I think Sweat is really becoming the favorite, and as he should be, he's in year two. Sharif Miller was in the kind of the same boat as Sweat last year, a fourth-round pick, a lot of explosion there off the line of scrimmage, good against the run as well. He is a very interesting prospect, diehard Eagles fan, which is a really cool dynamic as well. But I think he's going to be the one here that's not dressed and kind of plays in limited action unless there's an injury, much like Josh Sweat was last year. I'm excited about the prospects of Josh Sweat. I think he's really someone to keep a close eye on in the preseason. Defensive tackle here, five more guys. They keep 10 defensive linemen. Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, Tim Jernigan. That's your three guys that mainly rotate through. And then Travion Hester and Hassan Ridgeway. Ridgeway, the guy they traded a seventh-round pick for in the draft. I think those two, for your fourth and fifth defensive tackles, that's pretty good. Ridgeway has experience in Indianapolis. Travion Hester made arguably the most important play of the season last year, deflecting the double doink kick to send the Eagles into the second round. In limited snaps, he was very efficient in the pass rush game inside, and that's big. Once again, guys, I can't stress it enough. When you have depth, and it comes to not just depth at defensive tackle, but pass rushing depth inside, not to mention the ability of Vinny Curry and Brandon Graham to play inside, that's exciting. I mean, I mentioned it on the offensive line. Defensive line, too, the Eagles have versatility. They have a lot of diversity in what these guys can do. Linebackers, they keep five here, kind of a linebacker by committee approach. I think Bradham and Zach Brown are definitely going to be your starting two, but odds are you're not going to run three linebackers a whole lot. But in base packages, I think Kamu Grugia-Hill will be that third guy, great in coverage last year. But I think at the same time, Camus not going to play all the time. He's going to be your special teams ace as well, especially with Chris Maragos gone. But LJ Fort has a lot of experience at middle linebacker coming over from Pittsburgh. He played with Cleveland as well in the early 2010s. And then I think Nathan Geary is going to be – have we decided if it's Nathan Geary or Nathan Geary? I still don't know. I mean, we'll think about that later. That'll be on the Locked On Nathan Geary podcast. I think he is the fifth guy here, but I think Brown and Bradham easily are your top two. But I think you're going to see a rotation here. I like Kamu in pass situations, but LJ Fort, again, he's got experience. I think he's good against the run. Nathan Geary as well, a former safety. He's someone that is versatile. He played a lot of snaps last year. I think they're all going to play next year at linebacker, all in very limited fashion, because not only Nigel Bradham is going to play a significant amount of snaps. Zach Brown will get, you know, a good amount too, but even two linebackers, the Eagles don't run a whole lot. So, I mean, they run big nickel and big dime a lot in this defense. So those are your five here at linebacker. Bradham, Brown, Kamu, I say is the favorite right now at LB3, then LJ Fort and Nathan Geary. At cornerback, they have six good ones that have a lot of playing experience. You guys know I'm very infatuated with the cornerback position, and we'll get into the CB Wars podcast sometime this week. Look, you don't pay Darby almost $8 million. He's only guaranteed $4 million, but you don't pay Ronald Darby almost $9 million this year to get beaten out by one of these young corners. I think he should be allowed to get beaten out. I think if Sidney Jones looks better than him, Rasul Douglas, Avante Maddox, Cravion LeBlanc, Jalen Mills, I don't think it's fair. I know Darby has a lot of upside, but for me, I mean, it's year five now. How long are we going to talk about upside for with this guy? I know he is super fast and he has a lot of playing experience, but for me, I've said it before time and time again, Rasul, Sidney Jones, Avante Maddox, Mills, LeBlanc, they have all showed to me as much promise on the field as Darby has, but it's Jim Schwartz making the call here. It's the management making the call. You don't pay a guy $9 million to sit on the bench unless you maybe trade him. I think that could possibly be a thing that they'd consider, but I think that's more something they would kind of explore with Jalen Mills. So I think Ronald Darby, when he comes back off this torn ACL, and I think he should be ready for week one, he'll be CB1. I think Sidney Jones, though, is going to win the outside job. I do. I think Avante Maddox, Avante is ahead of him in the depth chart right now. But when they're using three corners at minicamp so far, Maddox is moving inside, which tells me they plan on using him. They're going to use him in the nickel at minicamp right now because that's what position they plan on using him this year. I think Maddox is guaranteed, outside of Darby more than anybody, the most playing time next year, even over Mills. I think Jones, though, with Mills injured still, I don't know. He might start on the PUP list, and that means he has to miss the first 6 weeks of the season. If Sidney Jones starts on the outside or Rasul Douglas, I would start. Look, I like Rasul Douglas a whole lot. You guys know I do. But for me, at the same time, I'm not going to let that blind me from knowing the importance of seeing what they have in Sidney Jones. And if Sidney Jones shows the flashes he did last year, or shows the flashes of what he did at Washington and why the Eagles made him a second-round selection, even coming off a torn Achilles, then Jalen Mills is not getting his job back. I think it's going to be to start the season Darby and Sidney Jones on the outside with Avante Maddox in the slot. I think Rasul Douglas is your main outside backup. Cravion LeBlanc is your main slot guy. And then here's Jalen Mills. I put him on the roster, but they'll have a roster spot open if he starts in the PUP, or they could, when he gets healthy, they could consider trading him. I think they should do that. I don't know if Jim Schwartz would allow that. I think he's maybe more likely to just immediately put him back in the starting lineup. I'm going to give Schwartz the benefit of the doubt when I see it. When I see him, right now I can't do it based on the moves he's made at corner throughout his stint with Philadelphia. But because Douglas is on call for the outside spot, if Jones gets hurt or Darby, or they're just, you know, Jones is not playing off the sniff, I think Douglas on the outside has proven that he should be a starter. So he's going to be your main backup, I feel like. And then Cravion LeBlanc is going to be your main slot guy. So unless you're moving Mills to safety, which coming off an injury, I would consider that. I'd rather have Jalen Mills as that third safety than Blake Countess or Trey Sullivan. But if they don't consider that, which they really haven't been very open to it unless they have to, see Avante Maddox last year or Rasul Douglas on Thursday Night Football against the Giants, for the most part, they don't want to move the corners to safety unless they have to, which I think is silly, but I think that's their mindset. Mills did play safety at LSU, but if they don't do that, I don't know. I just, with Douglas and LeBlanc there, I bet Mills would probably be the top backup, but because Douglas and LeBlanc are on the bench, if I'm Howie Roseman, I wouldn't even give Jim Schwartz the option of Jalen Mills. With Mills' playing experience on a Super Bowl team, and he's a great red zone corner, a great tackler, those are pretty good niche roles to have. He's a great leader off the field as well. I think considering moving Jalen Mills this year for anything would be an interesting move to consider, considering all the depth that they have at corner. But for now, I'll say it's Darby and Jones on the outside, Avante Maddox inside, Rasul, Cravion, and Mills rounding up your six corners. All right, and now we wrap it up with safeties. Of course, look, special teams, it goes without saying. It's Jake Elliott, Cameron Johnston, and the GOAT himself, Rick Lovato, at long snapper. At safety, I kept four. Malcolm Jenkins, Roddy McLeod, Trey Sullivan as the safety three, and Blake Countess. I think with Sendejo, not keeping him is going to end up getting you a fourth-round compensatory pick. That is very important. And with Countess now on the roster, I think it was very telling when they brought in Countess and they continue to look at safeties, that was more indicative, that was more telling about Sendejo's future with the team than, you know, Malcolm Jenkins. I think some people were concerned when they were meeting with Jonathan Cyprian that, hey, what does this have to do with Malcolm Jenkins? Now Jenkins showed up in minicamp. I think they'll get a deal done this summer. Jenkins is, though, in-house at the NovaCare Complex. So I think it was more so about Sendejo. If you can get that compensatory pick, make sure it doesn't cancel out with, I think, Jordan Matthews, then that's big. And I think Countess is just as good anyway. And Trey Sullivan, we had Andrew DiCecco on a couple weeks ago of the Eagles Wire, and he was really impressed with Sullivan, the development, because the start of last year, he was a disappointment in the summer and at the start of the season. Those couple hiccups against Atlanta on that first game. But Sullivan was a guy people were really excited about based on what he showed in the summer of 2017. Then, of course, he's a practice squad guy, struggled at the start of last season. But then, in just like all these young corners, when the games got more and more important down the stretch, you know, even in the playoffs, he had significant reps against Chicago and New Orleans. I really liked what I saw from Trey Sullivan. and Blake Countess here as your four safeties. And for me, I'm holding out hope that Jim Schwartz realizes, hey, I need to get based on, yeah, maybe Avante Maddox or it's Mills or it's Rasul. Sure, these guys aren't the perfect fit at safety, but I want my best playmakers on the field at the same time. And if I'm going to use, you know, 4-5 defensive backs on the field at one time, that I would rather have a guy like Douglas or Mills on the field or even a LeBlanc than a Blake Countess or a Trey Sullivan, because I just think, you know, with Rasul's playmaking ability and Maddox and Mills' tackling ability and experience at safety, that those guys are just better players. But I think Sullivan right now would be the favorite to be that third safety, if you ask me. I know Sendejo, if the compensatory pick formula didn't exist, he'd probably be the favorite. But because it does, and we all know how much Howie prioritizes that, I think right now Sullivan and Countess are in the lead for those two backup spots at safety, with corners, of course, having the ability as well. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, the 53-man roster prediction edition of the show. Man, you guys got me juiced talking about corners once again. The CB Wars podcast is coming up this week. I got Locked On Corey Clement as well this week, and a couple other podcasts dialed up for you. Once again, 4 to 5 days a week right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. If you could, leave us a 5-star rate if you like the show. 4-star, whatever. We encourage it 5-star, but let us know how we're doing. Hit us up on the review section as well, or on Twitter to keep the conversation going, at LockedOnBirds or at DiBiase, L-O-E. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds, baby.